Matthew 28 from verse 18. Yeah, this is about 10 minutes before 1. All right, so God will grant us grace so that we are able to manage time well. From verse 18, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Let's read 19 together, would you please? 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. Yes. So the man who has authority commanded us by the virtue of the authority that resides in him, says we should go and make disciples. Yes? Of how many nations? Of all nations. Only Nigerians? Only Liberians? Only Africans? All nations. Yes? And we baptize them once we have discipled them, once we have taught them, right? We baptize them. We teach them all things. We don't reserve anything. All right? We don't say, oh, no, don't tell them this one. No. In the process of discipling God's people, you let God's people know everything that is in the kingdom. And I guess this is why we keep coming. Yeah? We're being discipled. And during that process, more and more and more of God's will is being exposed to us. Yeah? And the Lord says, as long as we continue to do that, we should be rest assured he is with us till the end of age. Yeah? Okay. So there is a continuous process. That is what we keep doing by keep coming together. Yeah? There is also that maybe one time or two time encounter that you and I have, or engagement that you and I have with people that are not in the fold yet, or that are not off the fold yet. When I said in the fold, I may mean in your local church, but I say off the fold, and I now mean in the body of Christ at large. Yeah, that one encounter or two encounter or few encounters you have with them, you and I are commanded to share the good news with them. This is our basis of teaching today. This is the text for today. But to help us, I'd like us to visit 2 Kings chapter number 7, but we will begin from chapter 6, from 24. We will read the word, and then I attempt to explain it a little bit, and then we will be done. The title of today's message is, You Are Not Useless. In fact, you are next. I am not useless. I am next. We will get the understanding of this as we go on. I read 2 Kings chapter number 6 from verse 24 and on. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his army and went and besieged Samaria. Can you say besieged Samaria? And if you will, you may even underline it in your own Bible, besieged Samaria. You can color code it, you can do anything, because I think those two words are important, especially the word besiege. And there was a great famine. Can you say great famine? In Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Yeah? Even the poo-poo of a bird became expensive. I don't know why that should be bought to begin with, or why that should be desired. I pray that famine will not set into your life. Verse 26. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on a wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, Lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you," this was the king responding, "where can I find help for you? For the threshing floor, from the threshing floor or from wine press?" Then the king said to her, "But really, what's troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, this friend of mine said to me, this neighbor of mine said to me, give your son that we may eat him today." Don't forget besiege. Don't forget great famine. Don't forget inflation. Don't forget everything expensive now. Scarcity has set upon Samaria now. So everybody had to just figure out how to survive. So she told me to bring my son today that we can eat him. And we will eat her own son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. But she has hidden her son. Now it happened when the king heard those words of the woman, he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked. And there, underneath, he had sackcloth on his body. You know when we look good, but really we're mourning? You know when we look good, but really, if somebody were to engage us for another minute, we would break into tears. The king initially came in his royal robe, but when he heard how terrible, I mean, he knew that the nation was in trouble, but now when he heard somebody's story, he tore his royal apparel, and behold, what was there? The cloth of sadness. I pray, whatever you're going through, that those who see you cannot really quickly detect because of apparel, persona, facade. I pray that God will enter into that situation today. God will cause a healing in that situation today. I pray that a miracle will happen in that situation today. So that inside and outside of you will be beautiful. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So, when number 30, the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes and passed on by the wall. People looked at him. They realized he was wearing sackcloth underneath. Then he said, God, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. In other words, I'm going to blame the church for my trouble. Verse 32. I'm going to blame the pastor for my trouble. But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him, and the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he had said to the elders, look, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? What did I do? We're in this country together. It's hard. Yeah? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of the master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I want the Lord? And why should I wait for the Lord any longer? You know, the troubles that beset people, and people can no longer wait upon the Lord. God will deliver all of us from it. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow by this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it, because you do not believe in the God of possibilities. You think that there is nothing God, there isn't, you believe that there are things that God cannot do. Now, verse 3. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now, therefore, come, let us go and surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we will live. And if they kill us, we are only going to die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, in other words, the army now began to say to one another, wait a minute. Look, it must be that the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Don't forget, they were the ones who besieged Samaria. But God is doing something now at a point where fear came upon them. You know, besieging, borders are closed. Besieging, food can't come in. And no, there is no escape route. I heard maybe yesterday or 2 days ago that there is a particular region that had a port, right, in Ukraine that Russia has at least taken over for now. And there, Ukraine supplies grains to almost the entire world, right? But because that region had been blocked off, right? Ukraine cannot sell grains, right? It means they cannot make money. They will be hungry. And it also means that the world cannot have grains. They will be hungry. That's what besieging means, right? But there is a God in heaven that we call the God of possibilities that can turn situations around, yeah? So God was working on turning situations around here. And one of the first things that God did was to allow the army, those who held them in ransom, to begin to hear some noise. And then when they heard noise, they began now to permutate. They now began to come up with some weird ideas that it must be that more soldiers are coming to kill us. Yeah? What verse are we in? Verse 6. Yeah, did we read 6? We read 6. So verse 7 now says, therefore they arose and fled at twilight. This is my second time of seeing twilight. Have you seen twilight before? Verse 5. The same time that the lepers made up their mind, that the lepers rose to want to just go and take the risk, it was the same time the noise began in the ears of the enemies. And it was the same time that they began to run away. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God is going to cause some things to begin to move in your life. That at the same time in the camp of your enemies, there's something will be happening to cause them to run away for you. At twilight, they began to flee, and they left their camp intact. They left their tents, they left their horses, they left their donkeys, they fled for their lives. That is like in the prayers that we were praying all day today. Yeah? Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and they ate. They drank. They carried from it the silver, the gold, the clothing, When you get food and you also get clothes, are you not good? What are we working for? Food and clothes. Yeah? Okay. And you get money. You get gold. You get silver. Eh? They finished. The Bible says, then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and heed it. Yeah? There is a moment when you're enjoying life and you're still hiding what God is doing. Yeah? This was the moment they were experiencing. Then, verse 9, another moment set in for them. They said to one another, we're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And we're silent? Guys, if we wait until the morning, I'm sure some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrians' camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound. Only horses and donkeys that were tied down and tents were left intact. Verse 11. And the gatekeepers called out and they told it to the king's house inside them. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. You know, the troubles that will set upon us to a point where we can no longer see light, where we can no longer see possibilities. May God ward them away from us in the name of Jesus. Even the king could not believe that this could happen. The king too, like other people, thought this might be a trap. This is too good to be true, right? They know that we are hungry. These are assumptions that will be coming into one's head sometimes when things are hard. My enemy know that I am hungry. Therefore, they probably went out to camp to hide themselves in the field, hoping that they saying that when we come out into the city, then they will catch us alive and get into our city. And then God will surprise you and I. Amen. And one of the servants answered and said, please let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel. Am I repeating myself? That are left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in haste as they were escaping, because they too were thinking that some kind of army was coming. As the lepers were walking in the twilight, they were going, right? God made it sound like noise. So that the enemies now began to fidget, and they left food, they left clothes, they left everything, and whatever was still with them along the way, they were just throwing it away. They were trying to escape for their lives. So the messengers returned and told the king, this is what we saw all over the place. There are clothes and everything. Verse 16, so the people went out and plundered the tents of Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord that he said earlier. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. That man that didn't believe that God could do it by this time tomorrow, that man actually saw that it happened, but he died because of his unbelief. Verse 18, so it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God, saying, now look, even if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could that be? And he had said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you are not going to eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate of, and he died. The point we're making that caused us to read this scripture this much is, once again, I said that the title is, you are not useless. In fact, you are next. Lepers, at least in those days, and I suspect probably today still, lepers were outcasts. Lepers didn't live amongst regular people. So these ones were part of those who have been cast outside of the gates. No one was caring for them. They were maybe beggars. At least in my country, that's who they turn out to be, right? No one really is going to care for them. Even their own families will cast them, right? So the community cast them. Lepers Please, I don't know if you've seen one or you've read about one. What happens to the fingers of lepers? It's like, yeah, it's cut short. It's not there. And the toes too. And it keeps getting eaten up. Yeah, it degenerates, yeah? Getting shorter and shorter and shorter, right? So they're not capable of maybe holding stuff like we are able to. Please, next time you hold something, thank God. It is an ability. Some people can't. Some people cannot, yeah? So they were useless people to the society, yeah? So this last time when I went home, our general overseer said, food in the hands of lepers. I said, okay, I got it. Food in the hands of the outcast. Food in the hands of the insignificant. Food in the hands of the discouraged, the people that no one regard anymore. Our God is a God of miracle. He uses anyone that he wants to. So good news from the lips of those who had been discarded. This is to say, there could be economic solution in the hands of the purest. Yeah. National salvation. That's what I wrote down for myself. From the actions of the undesired and the unrecognized, they became the savior of the nation. Mm-hmm. What am I saying? If there is any one of us here today who believes that you are not qualified to share good news, I brought this message to you to know that you are very qualified. The lepers were outcasts, but they became good news bearers, affecting not just themselves positively, affecting their community, affecting their nation. They brought their nation out of being besieged. Just by the boldness, just by their actions. So, when Jesus commands us to go and share the good news, it requires boldness on your side and on my side. It's a decision. They said to themselves, we're not going to be quiet anymore. For us to be quiet after we found the good news, that is not right. If we kept quiet, some punishment will come upon us. You and I must begin to take it seriously. That once the Lord has given himself to us, we have the good news. All of us that we have the good news, something bad will happen to us if we don't share it. Don't sell yourself short. That's what I mean by you are not useless. Don't think that who's going to understand my accent. No. God knows how to make your accent sound like the one they want to hear and they begin to receive. The same way the steppings of lepers sounded like an army coming to destroy them, so they dispersed. You have the good news, brothers and sisters. Share it. When you share it, you bring liberation. That's today's message. God is expecting that you are the next one who will rise up to begin to share the gospel. You are the next one who will rise up in your working place to say to somebody what the Lord has done for you. Yeah? The only thing the lepers did was to say, this is what we have experienced. They didn't quote any Bible. They didn't get angry and say, oh, you guys that cast us out, we're not going to share food. You know, you have the overjoy of the Holy Spirit since you have been saved. you have enough to share. What has God done for you? Tell it to somebody. Don't say that they won't listen. Don't say that they won't understand. Don't say that you are too little. Don't say that you are not a pastor. No, 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 no. The lepers did not say that. They didn't count themselves as insignificant. God made way for them to be the first set of people that will experience surplus. And what did they do? They shared the news. And all of a sudden, an entire nation was saved. When you and I take the step to go and tell people what we have experienced, you may just be saving an entire family. You may be saving an entire community. You may be saving an entire nation. Don't worry if they will believe you or not. At first, this also tells us that at first, the hearer of our message may not believe it. They may doubt. Well, you're telling me that there's somebody called Jesus that can actually forgive my sins if you know how bad I am? That may be how they first receive it. But don't worry. Sow the good news. Bear the good news. There will be courage in time that they will see that surely he can save. He can forgive. Some people may not believe that there is anybody called a savior. But if you and I will rise up and know that if I don't follow that instruction, something bad may happen to me. And then I say, okay, I'm making up my mind. I'm praying that we can make up our minds today and become the people who will share with others. What has God done for you since you met him? That's the message. I hope you see evangelism in that story. The sharing of good news. And it brought light, it brought food, it brought deliverance. Yeah, and the devil flew away. Their tormentor flew away. The troublemaker flew away. Even though they were powerful before, but the message of the gospel, yeah, rendered them powerless. Sometimes God will put you in a situation. It's because God wanted to use you in that situation to rescue some people. Yeah? Why would it be that it would be lepers that God will open that to? Why wasn't it a Secret Service agent? Let us rise on our feet. Time didn't allow for more explanation, but you got it. It could have been the vice president that got that message, so he would be proud that I am the news bearer. No, lepers, the insignificant. And to the glory of God, you are not a leper. Oh, wow. They came to realization that we got to tell. They told and liberty came. You and I will pray, Father, let me no longer hold back from telling others that I know you, that you are my Savior, that you have done this for me. Lives are tied to my own. Give me courage. Give me boldness to begin to just give the good news. The rest I will leave to you because you are actually the Savior. Every word that I need to say that will liberate somebody, let me not hold back. Every step that I need to take, even when I still have my own problems, but I should take that step anyway because you meant to save some people through it, don't let me hesitate. However you understand this message, please turn it to prayer in the name of Jesus. Dear God, don't let me see myself as useless. Don't let me sell myself short anymore. Don't let me think that you cannot use me. Father, help me to realize that you have made me a messenger of good news. Let me be bold to go and share the message. Father, let me realize that I matter in the salvation of somebody else. Lord, that the joy that you have given to me, give me the courage to share it. I'm not the Savior. You are the one who will save them. But you ask me to say something. Give me the courage to say something. Give us the courage to say something for the liberty and the liberation of our nations. Give us the courage to say something. Let us realize that we can no longer be quiet. The earth is in turmoil. Everybody is besieged. No, things are expensive. People are hopeless. Give me a word to speak that will bring liberation. Give me the courage to take a step that will bring liberation. Thank you, Lord, because I am next of your servants that will open my mouth, that will lead to salvation. Glory and honor be to God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The power to act as the one who is next to liberate a community, that power shall enter into you in Jesus' name. Whatever could have been holding you back before, the fire of the Holy Ghost destroy it in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name.